Good morning, Bridge Church. Morning. Great to see everybody, and it's my privilege to, my name is Mark Merritt, and it's my privilege to serve as an elder here at this church and to bring you a message out of God's Word this morning. And when Seth, I usually tell Seth if I'm going to be preaching, I need like a six-month notice. And then he told me that the sermon series we're going over during this Christmas time, which I'll get into a recap here in a little bit. And but he told me it's on Mark 1:1-3, and it's on routine or radical. So I was like, okay, I'm preaching the last sermon of the year. So I was like, this is perfect. I love a checklist. I love something to do. I was like, I can preach about spiritual fitness, physical fitness, just like do like a here we go New Year thing. But I kept going back, and he said you could preach on the series or not, you can just preach whatever the Lord lays on your heart. So I was like, okay. So but I kept coming back and reading Mark 1:1, and I thought like when we went to Africa this summer, I was like, I have like all these 20 hours on a plane, I'll like write my sermon this summer and just get her done. But I kept reading Mark 1:1 and not coming up with a sermon. And so as over the months went by, I kept going back to Mark 1:1, and the Lord laid on me a message that I needed to hear myself. And as I think about the new year and checklists and do this and do that and like read the Bible every day and all this, I was like, the Lord just laid on my heart, you know, a message for today and for me. So it's like, I think as I was putting this together, I was like, it's something I needed to hear myself. So I might get a good message today, so we'll see what everybody else gets. With that, I did this this is my fifth time to preach. I had all my notes in this when I went to find my binder. All my notes were in there from my previous four sermons. But I had done a recap. One of the things I love about this church and Seth's leadership is we take the Word serious. It's like we go through the Word. If you're here Sunday in and Sunday out, you're going to hear God's Word. You're going to hear this. And so I did a recap one of the other times I preached. I'll just do it again. I did it back in 2022, so now we're 3 years down the road, a little bit further. But in 2028, we went through Philippians and then the Gospel of Mark. 2019, we went through Ezra, Nehemiah, Galatians, Matthew. 2020, Esther, then the Psalms, and then 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 2021, John, then Lamentations, Joel, Obadiah, Nahum. 2022, we did Luke, then Acts. 2023, for the entire year, we did Job, which people might remember that. And so we did the book of Job one whole year. 24, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and the Sermon on the Mount. And then this past year, we were in Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And then we hit James for everyday faith, and then Mark for kind of a vision for discipleship. So we hit all four Gospels and have come back through Matthew and Mark at a little slower pace. And then we covered 8 of the epistles, so 12 New Testament and then also 12 Old Testament. So we take God's Word serious, and that's what you hear when you're here. And so during Christmas and Easter, we'll pause those studies and we'll, go into something on the birth of Jesus Christ or the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ during Easter. But so for this Christmas season, we've been doing Christ Moss. Moss. Yeah, so Moss, more. So week one, it was wonder or wonder. John, in the sermon series, I just caught this as I was going through it, but it's a four-week series through Christmas, and I don't know if Seth did this intentionally, but I'll have to ask him later, but we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He kind of grabbed something out of all four of the Gospels. But in the first week, we were John 1:14-18, wonder or wonder. And so do you need more wandering about Christ or wonder about Christ? How do I make sure Christ is at the center of the decisions I'm making? Is it for your good? If it's for your good and God's glory, it's going to start with more of Jesus. So I thought that was a good takeaway. And so what do you need more in your life, wandering or wondering? Week two, satisfied or searching. Are you comfortable or satisfied in your spiritual lives, or are you continuing to seek more Jesus, more understanding of Jesus, more time with Jesus, more Jesus every day? So never be satisfied with what God is doing in your life. And then week three, Luke 2:8-12, what is your response to Jesus? Apathy or amazement? The shepherds went to see Jesus. They heard the story about Jesus, but wanted to go see for themselves. The shepherd's response to Jesus was glory and amazement. We need less apathy and more amazement in our response to the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to this morning, So week four of the Moss study, routine or radical? Mark 1, 1 through 3. So as I was pulling this sermon together, I was trying to keep three things in mind. One is I just want to stay consistent with what Seth had already preached on the Moss theme. Two, just as an end-of-year sermon or beginning of next year sermon, I wanted to reinforce the vision and mission of Bridge Church for spiritual, relational, and missional growth. And then also keeping in mind this is the final Sunday of the year, I just wanted, like, how could we personalize the vision of the church to us personally? So this is a personal application of our spiritual, relational, missional vision for this church. So with that, if you brought your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And I'll read that one more time before we pray. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so before we dig in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for each and every person who is here this morning, Lord. We pray for open hearts and open minds, Lord. We pray that we would just receive your word this morning, Lord. There would be something in there that's applicable, something we can take with us, that you would speak through the Holy Spirit into our lives this morning as we open your word and learn from it. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew I was going to need some water. All right. So the first division is routine or radical spiritual growth. So you could probably predict what the next two bullet points are going to be. Yeah, so anyways, the first division is routine or radical spiritual growth. So Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I love how the book of Mark starts out. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I was doing this, we just started a John study in our Friday morning men's Bible study, and of course we did John 1:1 to start. But if you think about how Mark is starting the gospel of Mark here, it's interesting, because if you go back to Matthew, he starts off with the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And he dives straight into a detailed family tree tracing Jesus' lineage all the way back to Abraham. And it's like Matthew is saying, let me prove to you what this Jesus is, the promised Messiah, rooted in history, fulfilling every prophecy. So he's going back through that lineage. It's like, let me prove to you that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Luke takes a more personal approach. The first four verses of Luke 1, 1 through 4, is basically a dedication to somebody named Theophilus, basically a friend of his. And in there it says that Theophilus, his friend, may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So it's like Luke wants us to know this story is reliable, carefully investigated, orderly, and something you can stake your life on. And then if you go to John just comes, you know, cosmic right out of the gate. He's like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there's no birth story, there's no genealogy, it's just pure eternal divinity. John takes us back to before time itself and shows us that Jesus is the incarnate God. But Mark doesn't do that. He just jumps right in, doesn't waste a single word. He jumps in with basically a seemingly simple statement, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No genealogy, no dedication, no prophetic prologue, just a bold declaration that this is the start of something radically new. This good news is here, and it centers on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word, so I'm going to unpack those two words there at the beginning and the gospel. But the word beginning packs a lot of meaning. It's not just the opening line of a book. It's an invitation to a fresh start. Mark is announcing that with Jesus, everything changes. Mark is announcing, the old routines of religion, going through the motion, checking the boxes, living a predictable spiritual life, those are over. This is radical. This is the Son of God breaking into history, and he demands more than your routine devotion. So here we are on December 28th, just days after celebrating Christmas, standing on the threshold of a new year. We've sung about the Savior's birth, we've unpacked gifts, and the calendar's about to turn the page. And for many of us, the new year does bring familiar routine of resolutions, goals, desire to do better, to finally get it right. But Mark's opening line confronts us with something far better than another self-improvement plan. He declares that Jesus himself is the ultimate fresh start, the true beginning we need. So as we look ahead to 2026 and long for more of Christ in our lives, this single verse asks a piercing question. Will we carry the same old spiritual routines into the new year, or will we embrace a radical beginning that Jesus offers? Spiritual growth in 2026 isn't about adding another Bible study to an already crowded schedule. It's not about downloading a new reading plan. It's not about squeezing in a few more minutes of prayer because that's what we do as good Christians. It's about returning to the beginning, the explosive, life-altering recognition that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and let that truth restart everything. It's waking up on January 1st and every day thereafter saying, today can be a new beginning with him. It's choosing again and again to let the gospel reshape your priorities, your thoughts, and your heart in the year ahead. Because when we truly grasp who Jesus is, the Son of God, our spiritual lives can't stay routine. They become radical. So as we step into 2026, let's ask for more of that beginning, more awe at who he is, more surrender to his lordship, more of the Son of God taking center stage in our souls. Because the gospel isn't something we just celebrate at Christmas or heard long ago. It's the beginning that never ends. It's inviting us deeper into the radical life that Christ came to give. So let's start the new year the right way, not with our own resolutions, but with his revolution. Second is the gospel. So the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the word literally means good news. So what is this? Now, at its heart, the gospel is super simple. So I'm going to go through it here, start to finish. God, the Holy Creator, loves you more than you can imagine. You and I were separated from him by our sin and the choices to live life our own way. But God didn't leave us there. He sent his son Jesus, the eternal Son of God, to live the perfect life we couldn't live, to die the death we deserved on the cross, and to rise again, defeating sin and death forever. Now, anyone who turns from their sin and trusts in Jesus receives complete forgiveness, a brand new heart, and an unbreakable relationship with God. And a new beginning, that's the gospel, the good news, is that new beginning. It's not a system of rules to follow to earn God's favor. It's not a self-improvement plan to make you a better version of yourself. It's an announcement. Jesus has done what you could never do. He offers it to you as a free gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, too often we treat the gospel as old news, something we once believed when we got saved and moved on to deeper things. We chase experiences, knowledge, or busyness, thinking that those are the things that help us grow. But spiritual growth doesn't start by moving past the gospel. It starts by sinking deeper into it every day. Needing more of Christ isn't about doing more for him. It's about receiving more from him. More of his forgiveness when you fail. More of his grace when you are weak. More of his presence when life feels empty. More of his power to change when you can't change on your own. So when you are tempted to drift into routine, come back to the gospel. When you feel dry, discouraged, or distant, come back to the gospel. When you want to grow spiritually, don't start with a new habit. Start with the old story that never gets old, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to save sinners like us. And that's the good news. Mark is shouting from the very first line. And it's still the best news for starting a new year and every new day the right way. So let's live in it. Let's rest in it. Let's make it make us more like Jesus in 2026. So as we close, let's make it practical. Mark 1:1 isn't just a verse to admire, it's a verse to live by, and it calls us out of spiritual routine and into something radical as we step into the new year. So routine, so I'm going to go through what routine looks like, what radical looks like. So routine looks like treating faith like a weekly checklist, church on Sunday morning, maybe a quick prayer before meals, a verse or two when you remember. Now remember, I'm preaching, this is all to me because I'm really good at this stuff. Routine looks like reading the Bible out of duty rather than delight, skimming familiar stories without expecting God to speak freshly. Routine looks like praying safe, surface-level prayers that rarely touch the real struggles or dreams of your heart. Routine looks like starting each year with good intentions that fade by February because they're built on your effort instead of Christ's power. Routine looks like knowing all the right facts about Jesus but barely feeling awe, wonder, amazement, and deep dependence on him. So what does radical look like? That's waking up every morning in 2026 and reminding yourself, this is a new beginning with the Son of God, and start every day by preaching the gospel to your own heart. Radical looks like approaching Scripture hungry, expecting the Holy Spirit to meet you, challenge you, and change you every time you open it. Radical looks like praying bold, honest prayers, confessing sin specifically, thanking Jesus for the cross, and asking for more of his presence and power. Radical looks like letting the good news of Jesus shape your schedule, your priorities, your relationships, your finances. Radical looks like living in daily awe that the eternal Son of God came for you, loves you, and is making all things new, including your life right now. So routine keeps Jesus on the edges of your life. Radical puts him at the center and lets everything else orbit around it. So will your own personal spiritual growth be routine or radical this year? So that's spiritual growth, but God rarely grows us in isolation. He uses people. So let's look at verse 2. And there's no Sunday school today, so I have till probably 11:30. 10:30. I got at least another hour. All right. I might need more water. That's a good one. All right. So first division, routine or radical spiritual growth. Second division, routine or radical relational growth. There it is. So Mark 1:2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. So Mark, the author of this gospel, is deliberately linking Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to verse 2 and 3 by immediately grounding his bold opening declaration in Old Testament prophecy. He introduces this quotation with the formula, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, signaling that what follows is a fulfillment of Scripture. So it is like, as Seth gave me these verses, and you read through them, it's like, just read them and read them and read them. It's like, you're trying to figure out, like, what can you make a whole sermon out of this? But it's like, that is just an amazing connection where he's connecting right there at the beginning three verses that Christ is fulfilling all this Old Testament prophecy. And so it's just creating that seamless connection. But God doesn't come to us in isolation. He sends a messenger ahead, someone to get our hearts ready for what he is about to do. In the ancient world, when a king traveled, messengers went out ahead of him to announce that the king was coming and everybody needed to properly prepare. And here, God is saying to his people, I'm coming to you personally. I'm sending my messenger right to your face into the space where life is lifted up close. And so the messenger is John the Baptist. But the principle runs deeper. God prepares us for more of Jesus through people, through relationships that are close to us, honest and intentional. So as we stand here at the end of the year, heading into 2026, we're praying for more of Christ in our lives. Relational growth is where a lot of that more can happen. Jesus doesn't only meet us alone in our abide times and our quiet times. He'll meet us in the faces of the people he places around us. So as I was thinking through this second division, several familiar verses came to mind. There's four of them. So Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Radical relationships sharpen us spiritually. Honest, intentional interaction with other believers make us more like Christ in a way that solo time cannot. So you need others around you to sharpen you. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this directly challenges routine isolation and calls us into intentional, regular gathering where we actively spur one another on towards love and obedience. Galatians 6, 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. True relational depth means letting trusted people in to help carry our struggles, fulfilling Christ's command to love one another practically. In James 5, 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Prayer and close relationships brings healing and power that routine, surface-level connections can never touch. This is about people already in your orbit, your spouse, your family, your close friends, your small group, the brothers and sisters you sit near on Sunday. God sent the messenger before your face because real preparation for more of Christ happens face-to-face. It happens when someone looks you in the eye and reminds you of who Jesus is. It happens when you do the same for them. So as we step into 2026, let's ask, who are the two or three people God has placed before my face to help me prepare me for more of him? And am I being that person for someone else? So radical relational growth isn't about having more friends or a bigger social circle. It's about going deeper with a few, letting them in, speaking truth, bearing burdens, and spurring one another on towards Christ. Whenever we live this way, relationships stop being routine background noise and become the very pathway to give us more of himself in the year ahead. So routine, in this section, routine looks like going through the motions with the people closest to you, polite conversations, surface-level check-ins, and rarely letting anyone really see what's going on inside. Routine looks like keeping your struggles private because vulnerability feels risky or unnecessary. Routine looks like assuming spiritual growth is mostly a solo journey. You, your Bible, your prayers, and relationships are just nice extras. Routine looks like starting the new year with the same guarded patterns, friendly from a distance, but not truly knowing or getting to know others. Routine looks like letting busyness crowd out the time it takes to really listen, really care, really walk alongside somebody else. Radical looks like opening your life to a few trusted people who can speak into it. People who know your real joys, your real temptations, and your real prayers for this year. Radical looks like choosing transparency over image management, being the first to say, here's where I'm struggling, or here's where God met me this week. Radical looks like building relationships that sharpen and encourage spiritual growth, honest conversations in a small group, accountability that actually holds you accountable. Radical looks like praying with people, not just for people, praying out loud together, naming specific needs, and celebrating specific answers. So routine keeps relationships on the edges of your life. Radical makes space in your schedule for the kind of relationships that help you hear God more clearly and love Jesus more deeply. So will your own personal relational growth be routine or radical this year? So that's radical growth. So God uses the right people in front of us, or God uses the people right in front of us to prepare our hearts for more of him. But the preparation doesn't stop there. It moves outward. So let's look at verse 3. So first division, routine or radical spiritual growth. Second division, routine or radical relational growth. Third division, routine or radical missional growth. So Mark 1:3, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So the voice of one crying in the wilderness, one more uno mas. So when Seth told me that the mas theme, that's the first thing that came to my mind is uno mas. And that's the first thing. And so that, and then That's like a theme that's been popping up in my life all year long. So I first heard the uno mas, or one more kind of thing, come up in my life. I listened to a podcast called The Daily Blade, and it's published every weekday morning by Kyle Thompson and Joby Martin. And when we were on vacation 2 years ago in Jacksonville, we went to Joby Martin's church just by chance. And so I knew who Joby Martin was. But they do something in their church they talk about on this podcast called One More. And so I was like, I just think that's just a great kind of concept. And so I heard about it first there, but their church is real intentional about one more, one more, one more, one more. Everybody has their one more. And then just this year, that kind of kept theme of one more kept recurring. Nick Bear has something. He's kind of a fitness guru, but he has something called Go One More, which is something similar, but from a physical standpoint, not like spiritual. But then also talking with Kate Miller, she was talking to us about her church. Sloan and I had Kate, we're driving out to the airport to pick up Hope, and she was talking about her church that she goes to in Denver. And they kind of have a concept that's not one more. They don't call it one more, but it basically is the same thing. But it's someone who is close to you but far from God. And so they're always encouraging people at that church to, like, who's close to you but far from God that you can be pursuing? And it's basically the same thing. And so this morning, we're going to take this, examine in our own lives what that looks like. And we're not trying to reach every neighbor, you're just trying to reach one. You're not trying to reach every friend, you're just trying to reach one. You're not trying to reach every classmate, you're just trying to reach one. So what does this look like for us as an individual? So here in Mark 1, the voice of the one crying out, preparing the way for the ultimate one. John's preparing a way for the one, not the one more. But this is a principle that shows up throughout Scripture and has kind of popped up. The obvious one, when you think of like the one more, is, well, if you just want to turn to Luke 15, I'll just read some of it. But Luke 15, so Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together with his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so that's kind of like the shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to go get the one, and Jesus is willing to leave the 99 righteous to go get the one lost soul. And so that's like the one, when you think of one more, that's the first thing I thought of. But there's also, I already mentioned I do a Friday morning Bible study, and we literally have for 10 years called it Friday morning Bible study, because that's about how creative we are. So, that's pretty descriptive. It's on Friday mornings when we study the Bible. But this past, probably 6 months ago, I basically renamed our Friday morning group to One More. Is just trying to encourage the guys, like, who's your one more? And so I did this concept with the Friday morning group, and we all wrote down a man in our life that we're praying for and seeking after, and we did this in Sunday school a few weeks ago. But this is my segue into why I brought up Bible study and the one more. But 2 weeks ago, we started the book of John, and in chapter, well, of course, there's the John 1:1, which I already talked about, but also in chapter 1, if you want to just flip to the first chapter of John, I'll read through some of that here in a second. But there's this is the chapter where Jesus gets his first five disciples. So if you flip over to John 1:40, I'll start there. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. Verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. So here, and this kind of reminds me of Seth's sermons last week. What was the shepherd's response to Jesus? It was glory and amazement. What was Andrew's response to Jesus? He went and found his one more. He went and found his brother, Peter, and brought him to Jesus. And so if you keep going there, verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." So this is Jesus had one more. He went and found Philip and said, "Follow me." I mean, as I was preparing the sermon, I was like, that's crazy. It's like, Jesus could have found 10,000 or 100,000 or a million, and he went to one person. Like, Jesus' basically first action in ministry here is he finds Philip. He goes, he isn't worried about the 10 or the 100 or the neighborhood or the city. Like, Jesus himself goes and finds Philip, one person. And so then the third example, if you keep going, Philip. So Jesus finds Philip. Then what do you see? Disciples making disciples. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Andrew's one more was Peter. Jesus one more was Philip. And Philip's one more was Nathanael. So this morning, I challenge you with this. Who is your one more? Who has the Lord laid on your heart as I've been going through these examples? Maybe it's a brother or sister like Peter was to Andrew. Maybe it's a close friend like Philip, or like Nathanael was to Philip. Maybe it's a coworker, a neighbor, a classmate, or someone in your family who's drifted far from God. Maybe it's somebody you've been praying for years, or someone that God just brought freshly to mind. The truth is, heaven rejoices more over one sinner who repents than over 99 who don't need to. Jesus left the 99 to go after the one. Andrew went and found Peter. Jesus found Philip. Philip found Nathanael. And now it's your turn. So here's what I want you to do right now. On the back of your bulletin, there's a section at the bottom. If you're taking notes, you probably already saw Uno Mas. So if you don't have a bulletin, there are a few extras that Josh and Nick might have. So if you don't have a bulletin, if you raise your hand and you can get one. So here's what I want you to do right now. Think through who is your one more. Identify your one more. Who is the person that God is putting on your heart? And there's space in your bulletin to write that name down. So I'm going to pause here for 60 seconds and just, if you need to silently pray over that or think about it or write it down, I'm going to stop, pause here for 60 seconds, just allow time to pray and to write that name down. Now, you've either written that name down or you haven't, but I trust the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now and he's giving you the name. If he hasn't, be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit the rest of today or this week of who God's going to place in your path, place in your life that is going to be your one more. But I need three things out of you as part of this. Number one is to commit to pray for them every day. So start today, ask God to soften their heart, to open doors for conversation, and to give you yourself boldness and love. The second one is take one intentional step this week. Send the text, make the call, invite them to coffee, invite them to church, serve them in some practical way, share your story when the moment is right. Just take that one step. So just think about how you can be praying for them this week and then taking that one step. And the third thing is to tell somebody who that is. Tell your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, tell somebody who that person is, and that just drives more accountability. So I think I did this with the Friday morning group. I didn't really flesh it out like I am this morning. So the sermon caused me to kind of work through like the follow-up to having one more and to make sure I think the key is if you're praying by name for that person daily, just wait and see what the Lord will do with that. So here are a few questions I want you to wrestle with this week. If we really believe heaven rejoices more over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous, how would it change the way I use my time, my words, and my resources? What comfort or busyness am I clinging to that keeps me from going after my one more? And who in my life needs to hear that Jesus is the Messiah? And am I willing to be that person to tell them? So here in this third section, routine looks like hearing a challenging message about reaching the lost, feeling inspired for a moment, but leaving church and letting life crowd it out, no name written down, no real change. That's what routine looks like. Routine looks like praying generic prayers for the lost or for missionaries, but rarely naming specific people God has placed in your path. Routine looks like seeing coworkers, neighbors, family members who don't know Jesus, but assuming somebody else will do that. You know, that it's not the right time. Somebody else is going to take care of that. Routine looks like prioritizing busyness, entertainment, or personal goals over even one intentional gospel conversation. And routine looks like treating evangelism as a church thing and not the overflow of your natural daily life. And so radical looks like writing down that one name, your one more, that God puts on your heart and treating it as a holy assignment from God. Radical looks like praying daily and specifically for that person by name and asking God to soften their heart and open doors. Radical looks like taking one bold, intentional step this week, a text, an invite to coffee, a practical act of service, and sharing part of your story when the time is right. Radical looks like reordering your time, words, resources around the truth that heaven knows, heaven throws a bigger party over one repentant sinner than over 99 who don't need it. So routine keeps the lost at a safe distance. Radical looks like identifying your one more, praying for them, and taking that intentional step this week. So will your own personal missional growth be routine or radical this year? The 99 are safe. Who is your one more? So Mark 1:1-3 gives us the blueprint. The gospel of Jesus, verse 1, prepares us spiritually. Messengers before our face, verse 2, prepare us relationally. The voice crying in the wilderness, verse 3, calls us missionally to prepare the way for others to meet him. So church family, as we close this morning and this year, we'll bring it all together, bring it together one last time. We've asked God for mas, for more of Jesus, not more busyness, not more programs, not more religious activity, more of Jesus. And the question hanging over all this, will we settle for routine or will we step into something radical? Radical spiritual growth begins fresh every morning, captivated by the gospel, preaching the good news to our own hearts that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and save sinners like us. Radical relational growth goes deep with the people right in front of us, opening our lives, sharpening one another, bearing burdens, confessing sin, praying bold prayers together, because that's where God prepares our hearts for more of himself. Radical missional growth refuses to leave the lost at a distance, naming our one more, praying for them daily, taking that next courageous step, because heaven rejoices more over the one than the 99. So God is already at work, and he wants to do more in us and through us than we could ever ask or imagine. So don't leave here unchanged today. Don't let this just be another end-of-year message that fades by this afternoon or next Sunday. Let today be the beginning. Let the gospel restart your heart. Let close relationships sharpen your faith. Let one name, one person far from God, become your holy assignment. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you are the one more today feeling that pull of God on your heart, don't wait. Jesus left the 99 for you. He's pursuing you right now. Heaven stands ready to rejoice. Come home to him today. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and as I do, silently lift your one more to the Lord. Tell him the name. Ask him for courage, for open doors, for more of Jesus in every part of your life. Let's pray.